Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Block Ash Podcast, episode 387. Today's episode is sponsored by Bump Social. Bump is a new social media app that is revolutionizing the game for users, creators, and brands alike. Make sure to check them out on the iOS and Android store. You can download them in the description for the episode down below. Welcoming back on JB, the CEO of Cryotech. We had him on the last fall. This is kind of like an extension, a part two to kind of dive into where they're at now and some of the things that he's been working on in the meantime here in 2024. We'll also talk about the markets a little bit, what's happening within the industry. We'll have a lot of fun. So JB, welcome back on. It's a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm awesome. It's great to be back. It's been a while, but I think you'll find I've been very, very busy since we last spoke.
I believe you. I hear a lot. So tell me what you're up to now. Like, how are things going with Cryotech? What direction have you taken things so far?
Well, I haven't just got three companies, Cryotech, Degen, and Gorgon Black Box. I decided it was just too much trying to manage all three, for I am but one individual and I haven't mastered cloning yet. So I decided all three of my companies are now under a 100% owned subsidiaries of a holding company I founded in Ireland called Akuma Engineering. There are two amazing upsides to this. One, it means I do not have to bend the knee to the British government's completely crazy changes to the data laws in the United Kingdom, which gives them basically the ability to demand unencrypted and encrypted data from any tech company in Britain dealing with British citizens and not require a warrant or a D-notice. So they can't do that with me because all my tech is elsewhere now. And the other great thing is I only pay 12% tax. So, you know, it's a win-win. Yeah.
Why Ireland? Is it mostly because of the tax benefits or are there other reasons to incorporate there?
Ireland is a part of the EU, which was still very important to us. You know, I is a tech company and a tech founder. I am a firm believer in ensuring that I make sure that I operate in a way that works best for my consumers. And one of the best set of privacy regulations is GDPR. It covers a lot of things. And now with the release and the actual launch of the Responsible AI Act in the EU, it's an even better time to be there. Because yes, I know lots of corporations are saying, oh my God, the Responsible AI Act, man, it's going to stifle technology. It's going to stifle innovation. No, it's just going to stifle their ability to make a ton of cash from exploiting your data. Bear in mind, AI personalization is just the new form of ripping your personal data off for ads retargeting. No difference between the two of them. They're both there to exploit your data. The other thing is that when we look at ethics and all various other kinds of things, Ireland has kind of been on the right side of most things generally in terms of when it comes to humanity. So I figured what better place than to put my company, because my companies are, if nothing else, about that. You know, one of our tenants is forging a pathway to type 2 civilization and beyond. You know, making sure that we're putting humanity before profit, putting ecology and privacy before profit. So Ireland it makes a lot of sense. And all of our tech competitors are there. So, you know, if it's good for them, it's sure as hell is good for us too, you know?
Nice. Are we even a type one civilization at this point?
Once we have fusion tech, yeah, we will be, barely.
We're getting there. I've seen some breakthroughs with that. I think we all have. It's kind of interesting, but it seems like it's kind of like far off still. Like
No. There are three commercial fusion reactors coming online in 2030, one in the United Kingdom, one in Europe, and one in the United States, I believe. This is the reason why all the energy providers are all charging all of us extra money all of a sudden, because they all know their time is up. So they're trying to get that money out of us as quickly as possible before fusion gets turned on. Cha-ching! This is also the reason why the American government is trying to corner Ethereum and trying to get control of Bitcoin as quickly as possible, because once fusion tech comes online, proof of work blockchains become the only blockchain of choice. Because once you have near infinite energy, proof of work all of a sudden is near infinitely scalable, and proof of stake looks like the blockchain cornering Sybil attack wannabe that it really is.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting pathway. I have not really thought about it. I guess if you have energy that's that abundant and probably very cheap. What about Vox Crypto? I know you mentioned that last time, and that's something you're really excited about in Vox Wallet. Where's that at?
Well, Vox Crypto is finally released. It came out on Android last year, and we finally got onto iOS. Yes, we finally got a product on Apple. Yes. And we also learned a lot of interesting things in the process. In fact, we learned, because of being able to get Vox Crypto onto iOS, we learned that thanks to some of the interesting new changes made to their submission process, we will never, ever be able to put Vox Messenger onto iOS. Not yet. Not at this point in time.
Because, what's the reason why?
iOS demand access to all of your source code.
So you can't have it private. It's got to be all open.
It can be a private.
Or they have it. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, they got to have access to it. Direct access.
They want the direct access to read all of it. Now, for Vox Messenger, that is a particular problem because, Apple have just announced they're moving to post-quantum encryption. Now, we already know they're going to have a headache on full implementation, because when you move people from elliptic curve to post-quantum, it's a freaking nightmare, especially if these people want to keep their data. We actually have the technology in Vox Messenger has a particularly good way of handling movement from EC to PQ. So we would literally be uploading a potential solution to their problems if we publish this on iOS. I mean, there's a reason why the United States government has announced that an Apple is being taken to court today for monopoly.
I saw that.
Yeah. And there's a valid reason for that. They are operating a monopoly. They blatantly are. You know, here in Europe, it's better for us as an Apple user, because here in Europe, we have GDPR and Apple are made to do certain things. For example, we pay less. I'll give you an example. In the United States, I believe you pay 20-30% of your fees, of any money you make on Apple to Apple. Here in the United Kingdom, it's 12-15%. And that's because the EU fought that. They've already taken Apple to court for monopolization and have already fined them a fine, which was so pathetic, but something that Apple still managed to dodge not paying. Yeah, I mean, bear in mind, this is a kind of a thing which is going to affect the Responsible AI Act. The fine for not complying with the Responsible AI Act is only 7 million, or 3% of your world take in a year. That's nothing to these people. That's no kind. If the kinds of people who will infringe on the Responsible AI Act, that means nothing. A $7 million fine or 3% of global take when these guys are making tens of millions a minute, it means nothing to them. And that's why, unfortunately, that's how GDPR and the Responsible EU Act, AI Act, become, unfortunately, largely unenforceable and irrelevant. It's just the horrible reality. Until the EU gets really strong with these corporations, as in starts taking the slightly Chinese approach of sending people to jail, hauling them out of their beds and sending them to jail. Bear in mind, there's a reason why CEOs and executives, they don't muck around in China, because, you know,
it's a little different there.
Oh yeah, they're going to get a big boy punishment for committing some fraud. You know, in the United States or Britain, you commit some corporate fraud, it's kind of like, oh my God, he committed corporate fraud. Oh wow, we need him as our CEO. We need him on our board. You know, meanwhile in China, he's going to be working a chain gang. You know, it's a very different thing. And loads of people say to me, JB, you know, how could you say we should have that here? Actually, why not? CEOs are meant to be accountable, responsible, transparent people. And if they not only have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders and investors, but they also have an ethical and moral responsibility to their consumers and their employees, let alone their investors and shareholders. You know, and that includes setting tone, setting the culture, You know, if you have a bunch of CEOs who are profligate, irresponsible, and corrupt, you can't be surprised if the corporate culture is such, is reflected as such. Banking has, for the longest time, had a very profligate corporate structure, should we not say. You know, bear in mind, after the banking bubble burst in, you know, the country in Europe that sprang back the quickest, I believe, was Sweden. Why? They literally threw all the bankers in jail.
Yeah, well, that's what we get in the US and probably in the UK too. I mean, when you have capitalist society, you know, sometimes those things that happen, especially when you're Apple and you're one of the wealthiest companies in the world, it's like, all right, I'll just pay the speeding ticket and take the road bump and move on. Mm-hmm. Doesn't solve anything though, but
no.
No, they're not getting away with it in China.
No, but unfortunately for us, that does mean that Vox Messenger can't be on iOS at the moment. This also explains why the most secure apps on the planet, which don't include spyware and are not owned by the US government, are also not on iOS, funnily enough. Now we know why, you know?
Do you think that Apple will win that or lose that in court?
Oh, they'll lose, but they don't care. They're too big to care. They don't have.
They make a lot of money through the iOS store.
Yes. Yeah, but whatever the American government does in terms of a fine isn't really going to matter. Okay, look, if the EU or the US government said, right, you know what? We're done with your shit. We're fining you $1 trillion and we want it yesterday. You know, then you'd probably see Apple go, hold on, what? Then they would spill their frothy mochaccinos in their laps and would say, oh my God, oh dear. You know, then they would listen. But until somebody is going to take that action, until a government or some kind of organization, you know, like some kind of judiciary organization, develops its own police force that goes out there, kind of like the Chinese government does, and kicks their door in and says, ain't going to happen. You know, bear in mind, the American government is irked as hell at Elon Musk because he's the most powerful man in the world, kind of like a Bond villain, really. And he kind of, sort of, possibly may have given the Russians an early warning when the Americans and the Europeans were going to do something at the early beginnings of the Ukrainian conflict. You know, there's also the fact that he's a bit tax dodging and doesn't support the current government anyway, and doesn't really support any government, really, as long as it's one that gives him what he wants. But the problem they all have with him now is they've allowed him to get too powerful. They can't touch him. Who? What's it? It's like Zuckerberg and Facebook. You know, the most they can make Zuckerberg do is turn around to his audience and go, I'm really sorry that some of your kids committed suicide because of my platform.
That one looked like he was programmed to say it too. Like, he sounds like such a robot when he talks.
He could, for all we know, the big reveal is going to be at the next Tesla show that actually Zuckerberg is in fact a Tesla One bot. That's going to be the big reveal. He's going to be like, ta-da! See, I've been running it for years. My AI is so advanced, it's been running Facebook. Unfortunately, because they've all become super powerful, they've all developed kind of personalities where they all believe they're above accountability. It's kind of like, what was it Elon Musk said in his last interview? I don't have to answer questions from journalists. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he does seem to have the ego now. You can tell. You're telling Disney to go fuck themselves, and telling Don Lemon that he doesn't have to even, you know, take the interview. He's just doing it because, like, he's got like such a bravado about him now, for better or worse, I guess. But yeah, he is incredibly powerful. There's no doubt about that, and I. What kind of repercussions does that have on society? Probably both good and bad.
This is the thing. When you say if it's a good or bad, I do not think it's an equal balance, because we also have to look at the spread effect, you know, the network effect of what we do. I'll give you an example. Vox Messenger. If I were to say, when we're fully revenue generating and we are employing hundreds of thousands of people, if I'm walking around treating my managerial staff like some kind of a pocket Hitler, you better believe that culture will filter down. If I sit there and laugh at racist, xenophobic, biased jokes in my board meetings, you better believe that culture will spread down. Luckily for people, I'm the kind of person that does hold themselves accountable and responsible. Unfortunately, though, most CEOs don't, and most managers don't, because in management, it's always somebody else's fault. You know, gone are the days. You know, back in the day, we used to have a concept called honor. We, you know, the Japanese had the Hagakure, the way of the samurai. You know, there's a certain way of doing things. And now it's all gone. You know, you don't, unfortunately, you now don't really see men holding doors open for women because they're too afraid to, because the women are probably going to accuse them of misogyny or attempting to rape them. You don't have people trying to help each other across the road because they'll get accused of thieving off them or doing something. It's the same thing. Our governments set a certain tone of irresponsibility and non-accountability, and it filters down to everybody. And as a CEO, you are kind of a parent. You're the father. You're the mother, which means just like any good parent, you've got to set the example. And that's what I do. So I set my example. It's probably not a good example. I work ridiculous hours. I try to smile and be as cheerful as possible with everybody, even though I've had almost no sleep. And I probably want to wring the neck of like 90% of the people I'm talking to, you know. But I do it because I also know about my network effect. I'm aware of the effect my mood and behavior has on those around me. And what the effect that will have on the lives of the people around them. And it gets tiring. It does when you have to think about your actions through the lens of network effect. But if you're going to step into this arena, it's something you kind of have to do. But anyway, I also noticed we've deviated very far from Vox Crypto. So
no, that's okay.
Yeah. So to take it back to that, Vox Crypto, which is actually going to take us to another debate point. So what's one of the main things about Vox Crypto? Vox Crypto is currently on Ethereum. Main thing about it is I created a smart contract that allows us to wrap all your super expensive transaction fees, gas fees, into a single fee that normally works out about being 30% of what it would have been if you sent them individually. So to put that into context, say you want to send $50 to 500 people, you'll see that gas fee going up transcendentally. However, if you're using Vox Crypto, you just pay one gas fee, which is just wrapped in one. Now, the way we've designed the smart contract, your money does not sit in a wallet. It just passes straight on through and goes to its end destinations where it's meant to go. Now, for a limited time, we're reducing our user-to-user fees to 1% and our user-to-group fees. And by the way, when we say user-to-group, it's infinite. If you're mad jack enough, you could add over 1,000 recipients to receive payments. And if you're even more mad jack enough, you can send either all of them the same amount of money, or you can send all 1,000 different sums.
So what is the benefit of that, to send to a group that infinitely large?
Well, the advantage is really is for institutions and for people running projects, because one of the things that hampers adoption and also hampers the proliferation of these projects is the transactional cost of sending out rewards to people even, or even sending out airdrops or sending out distributing anything of any kind past one or two people becomes this incredibly expensive process. I mean, just to put it in perspective, we're launching our own digital platform asset in May, which ties in all of our applications together. It's got a max cap supply of 18 billion, and we built it on Solana. And it cost us very little to get it into the multi-signature wallets, to mint the whole supply, to revoke authority, and all those little things that you have to do to make sure that people can see this thing is fucking genuine and is not going to keep being increased on, yeah? If I wanted to do it on Ethereum, I would have already spent a few thousand by now just to do those little things, you know, because of those transactions, those gas fees. Now, if you were saying you were setting up a project and you needed to reward people, you needed to distribute an NFT, you needed to distribute anything, or even if you wanted to send your friends and family in their own little group some money in South America, how are you going to do that? You could either use Western Union, who are going to charge you twice as much to do it, and that's after you've sat through a ton of KYC and AML, or you can just send it via Vox Crypto.
Much simpler, much easier solution, and cheaper. I hate Western Union. I hate Raya. I hate most of these. They take too long. There's no predictability. Oh. Like, I don't know when my money is going to show up.
It's expensive. I'm going to give you some alpha that nobody else knows. So basically, we got Vox Pay coming out soon. And VoxPay pretty much puts a bullet in the head of Western Union and RiaPay. Why? Because we have our own banking rails.
Oh, nice.
In 52 countries. But that's coming out soon. I'm not going to say anything else about that. You're going to have to wait and see for that.
When could we expect that, relatively?
Potentially by August. But think of it like this. With our system, you'll not only be able to get your own debit card and credit card and your account, just like any normal bank, and of course, ridiculously cheap transfer fees anywhere in the world. But also on top of that, integrated staking. We are probably, in terms of security, we are the world's first who are going to be leveraging end-to-end post-quantum encryption and full homomorphic encryption in our banking application. So, yeah.
Are you going to be running most of this on Ethereum still, or is this all going to Solana?
Okay, so Vox Crypto is currently on Ethereum, but we are literally, at this moment, we got Solana being added to it. So yeah, with the next major update that comes out at the end of next month, we will have full Solana integration as well as Transac integration. So you can do on-ramping and off-ramping with your debit or credit card natively in-app and pay almost next to nothing in fees in doing so without having to go through an exchange and all that nonsense. And it's all end-to-end encrypted. Oh, and we've also added, we're also integrating Squad's multi-signature wallet system and staking natively into Vox Crypto. So you'll be able to top up your wallets natively in app and then just go stake some of your crypto and reap some rewards immediately and take advantage of the bull run and all of these. But you know, take advantage of all those people who are desperately begging to be exit liquidity for a smart person like you rocking Vox Crypto.
So, I mean, this might be obvious in some ways, but why Solana over Ethereum? I know Ethereum, they had their Denkun upgrade come out. They're slowly, gradually working to be a better blockchain, whatever that's going to look like. And then Solana, it is great. It kicks ass. Obviously, it has some issues with downtime here and there, but it's a good blockchain and it's cheap and it's fast. Are those the main reasons, or do you see something else in Solana's potential?
Ethereum, okay, so the ETH chads, as I call them, are going to absolutely... So ETH maxes. ETH chads, that's probably a better term given how a lot of people behave on Ethereum these days. The ETH chads will hate me for this, but the reality is Ethereum has priced itself out of being usable by anybody who is not a middle income earner. That's the reality of it. You know, so Ethereum is no longer the platform of the everybody. Ethereum, since 90% of the validator nodes all moved into the United States, Ethereum, you may as well classify as a US owned cryptocurrency at this point. It is. It's governed practically by the SEC, and the SEC and the US government's announced today that the Ethereum Foundation is under investigation.
I saw that as well.
Now, we already know what this means. It's just going to mean what we already, a lot of us in the tech industry, suspected, which is that Ethereum is just going to get co-opted into a three-letter agency control, just like Facebook is ultimately under a three-letter agency control. Just like all of these systems ultimately end up coming under three-letter agency control. There's a reason why the big banks have been moving in stealth with crypto for so long while pumping billions into mainstream media to tell us that crypto is the domain of criminals and the ne'er-do-wells. The banks have meanwhile, BlackRock and JP Morgan have meanwhile been getting the biggest corners in Bitcoin and slurping that proof-of-stake apparently environmentally unfriendly cryptocurrency up like it is going out of fashion. They've been inhaling it like how most tech CEOs inhale ketamine. You know, it's just one of those things. The reality is, though, is if you have Bitcoin, I'm telling this to all of your listeners and viewers, do not sell it. Hold on to it. Trust. Hold on to it. This is Bitcoin is going to be easily 100 grand by the end of the year. Even if you have a tiny amount that's only worth a couple of hundred of dollars right now, this time next year, it could be worth house buying money. That is how wild the value increase of Bitcoin is. And there's a reason why you see everybody telling you to sell it, because the big institutions need to control it. And how do you control a proof of work blockchain? It's very hard to. So you control the currency's max cap supply. This is where Bitcoin scarcity comes up to kind of screw it a little bit here, you know? But as fusion tech becomes more mainstream, all of those problems will kind of move aside. Now, so Ethereum, given that we know that Ethereum is more or less A, expensive, B, under SEC investigation, and C, pretty much coming under the domain of three-letter agencies, it meant to us that Solana and other blockchains become the more viable solution. They are not got the majority of their nodes locking them to one specific country of dominance. And bear in mind, we, as I said, we have a digital platform asset pre-distribution happening in a few weeks, where we're going to be selling 500 million of our own digital assets, which allow people to interact and potentially earn from our different platforms. And even with that, it's we are predominantly going, that should theoretically raise 22 million. If we did that on Ethereum, that 22 million, a quarter of it would be gone in the costs of setting that thing up and maintaining it past that point. It's not the case with Solana. So irrespective of that, and the nodes, and all of that, you also have the other thing that Solana is really fast. Solana reached 1,010 TPS real-time transaction processing speed only 2 days ago. And it's getting faster and faster. It has had a peak, experimental peak, of 60 to 80,000 TPS. Theoretical peak, experimental peak, mind you. Let's not get these confused. There's the real world, as in what it's doing in the day, versus what it could do at max hardware capacity. Now, one of the things we're doing as part of our use of proceeds from the 22 million from the pre-distribution is we're actually going to be setting up Solana. We're going to be staking a load of Solana validators in Europe to try and make sure, you know, try and help with stability, and also to try and make sure that we're not hitting a situation that Ethereum reached after the bubble, which is where one country decides we like that, we're taking that, and starts moving server control into that country. You know, I mean, we're partnered with Solana Super Team. Solana Foundation seems to think of us okay. You know, we're building a token experience on Solana that is actually backed by true utility. It's actually backed by our products. You know, it's not like a meme coin that is literally only there for speculation, literally. So why would I go with Solana? Faster, cheaper, and is not dominated by the United States yet.
Makes sense. That's a good explanation. So I also believe from what you stated about Bitcoin, you probably think that the bull market is on its way back up. We're seeing everything come back into full swing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, what do you think? What do you think this is going to look like compared to past market cycles with Bitcoin, with altcoins, with the entire Web3 ecosystem? Obviously, others have been dominated by different things, you know, whether it's NFTs and DeFi, or the advent of stable coins, or even just Ethereum becoming a place for people to go initially as an ecosystem for dApps and smart contracts. It's very different today. So much has changed. You got so many competing blockchains and so many things on the table. What do you think might be the thing of 2024 or 2025, you know, however this ends up shaking out?
Okay, I'm going to do a little name dropping. Probably shouldn't, but I would say a good blockchain to keep an eye on would be ICP,
Internet Computer Protocol.
Yeah, definitely. I slept on them when they got started. I believe they got started in like 2015. They're like fairly OG Halcyons, but their tech is solid. The only thing I would say about ICP is there is a tendency in their ecosystem for non-regulated DeFi apps, just like Solana has. But the reason why this is more of an optical problem for ICP is because ICP overtly are chasing legitimacy. Bear in mind, the future of ICP is to literally be the decentralized internet. The literal next internet is the future ICP. And ICP also demonstrated successfully running a full LLM AI across their network. That's huge. That basically means they managed to make an LLM run completely decentralized. That's something worth shouting about. Yeah, and that's also the reason why their token price has gone up to some like $12 or something like that, I believe. So I'd say somebody who's a breakout for 2024 is most definitely ICP. Keep those eyes on them. There are some off-putting things there, like some of their earning mechanics can seem a little pyramid-esque, but again, they're not really focusing on those. Those are things that seem to be just being there just to help the ecosystem and the actual community keep rolling, ostensibly. The tech, though, it's some really interesting tech. Some actual interesting tech. Now, another one who I will mention, who's definitely one to watch in 2024, but they could be the one to watch for two entirely different reasons, is Soulchat. Okay, so Soulchat, they are like bugging out Solana. And yes, they are kind of being annoying with like their Twitter raids at the moment, but it's kind of amusing. It's kind of like the early Ethereum days. where you just had people raiding the fuck out of everybody and each other and everybody just getting narcs to each other. It's just one of those. But SoulChat does have a legitimately interesting product. It is fundamentally WebRTC. No other way to put it. It's WebRTC, wallet to wallet. Now, there's some other interesting stuff happening there, which the reason I don't mention it is because I've not been able to prove it for myself independently. Until I see something and see it for myself, I'm not going to claim they're end-to-end encrypted until I see the demonstration of that tech being a cryptographer. You know what I'm saying? They have a whole bunch of features, but unfortunately, I've not been able to test or validate them myself. So until I do, there's not really any point me shilling them out there. But they definitely want to keep an eye on the chat token, which is the chat digital platform asset, which is their particular one, which is apparently what is powering this whole thing, has been jumping up by leaps and bounds. I would say their approach to marketing is something that needs a little bit more professionalism added to it, but the tech is very interesting. What does it do? It allows you to go wallet to wallet as a phone call or a video call. So no more needing a telephone number, you just need a wallet. There's nothing more decentralized than that to some extent. The thing that kind of re-centralizes it is the fact that it's WebRTC and still uses Tern servers. Yeah, so you could in a sense just say it's WebRTC on Solana, but that in itself is actually still a brand new innovation because nobody else up until this point had done that. And nobody else had created an interface for it and nobody else had created a UI for it. There is still value to that. Nobody else had thought to put it into a single product. So there is still value to that. So I would say definitely SoulChat. Another two to keep an eye on this year is HiveMapper and Helium. So funnily enough, all of these are on bloody Solana, actually. So I would say the way to look at it is Solana is the way to go. Well, you know, Helium, I myself have a Helium blockchain miner, you know, with a massive 25 meter antenna sticking out the side of my house that makes the front of my house look like Boba Fett's helmet. It doesn't make me that much, but baby, I'm part of the blockchain.
It probably looks cool.
it does. It gets comments. And yes, I do have a Sega Solana phone. Yes.
Oh, nice. Do you like it? Like, is that good?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't even use it for phone calls,
right? It's mostly an Android, right?
Yeah, it is Android, but I only use it for one thing. The one thing it was created for, which is to be a hardware wallet. That's it. That's all I use it for. And it's got a hardware chip on it. It feels good in the hand. The software is a bit shit. It is what it is. But it's a hardware wallet. That's why I got it. And my Kleosaurus paid for it. So that's even better. And yes, I also have a Hive Mapper of my own. I have the Hive Mapper S. So big shout out to Hive Mapper. This little baby.
Hive Mapper, sponsor us.
This little baby makes enough. Me just doing my school run and driving backwards and forwards in my day. I can't say this would be the same for everybody, but for me, this pays for my petrol each month. That is how nuts this thing is. But HiveMapper, please, come on, man. Bring in the AI training for UK and EU. What the hell, man? Where's my tokens, man? Come on. But yeah, HiveMapper S, they've got a new one coming out, the B, which has actually got its own 5G chip in it, so it can go completely unwired, which, yes, I will be getting at some point. You know, hint, hint, HiveMapper. I drive an SUV, I do a lot of driving, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so yeah, the ones to watch this year is number one, ICP. Number two, SoulChat. Helium, HiveMapper.
Nice. I'll have to dive into some of those. I'm familiar with Helium, ICP, the other ones. It's so hard to keep up with a lot of them because there's so many coins out there now. There's so many projects, more than ever before.
But do you notice what is the thing that connects all three or four of these in particular as a choice? They all have utility. You see, you notice this. Every single one of them has huge utility. Some of them are even connected to hardware. And this is where the true value of blockchain projects comes in. Those which are hybridizing, those which are connecting the layer one realities, the reality that we are subjectively living and observing between us, and connecting the layer two, the virtual, the meta. That's why these projects are projects which are projects you can actually put some money in. I'm not going to say invest. Yeah, SEC, you thought you had me there. No, I'm saying these are projects, or projects like them are projects that you can actually research with a fairly high level of confidence, knowing that you are looking at something worthwhile. I'll phrase it like that, because ICP, genuine tech lying underneath it. almost a decade's worth of work and actually surviving multiple markets and environments right there as well in that group, tight-knit community. Soul Chat. I mean, the tech is good and the tech is cool. I just wish they'd kind of like sort themselves out, yeah? Helium. Helium's been around for one of the longest. You know, Helium was its own blockchain before it came to Solana. Why did it come to Solana? Because it's hard to get something that's fast and scalable. Solana is that, and it's cheap. And then you have HiveMapper, exactly the same thing again, being part of the alternative to Google Maps and Apple Maps. I mean, although Apple Maps barely exist, but you know what I'm saying. You know, being in, you, though, are the one who's part of these alternatives. I mean, this is the very same for the digital platform asset we've created. We have created a tokenization, which like ICP, like SoulChat, like Helium and HiveMapper, has utility. It actually has real things right there that it's working with. And that is how you can assess value. Does it have in itself an intrinsic value? Not a value that is born of speculation or Machi or Paulie OX or one of these other jackasses jumping on the TV to go, oh my God, you got to really get this, blah, 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 blah. Or who was it? Who was that crypto guy who got into a UFC match with somebody recently on Twitter?
I mean, Ben Armstrong?
Oh my God, man. I mean, it's some of the stupidity that
we've interviewed him. I've had him on the show before.
Oh my God, what's it like interviewing that guy?
I'll tell you what. When I interviewed him, he was sane.
No way.
But you can tell that there was something there. And I had a very long, extensive conversation with him before we even started recording for an episode. Like, this was like almost 3 years ago, I think. And this was before he blew up too. Like, he had like, I think, 500,000 subscribers. Like, this is before he like really, really got big. We had a conversation before we even started recording, and he is so like into conspiracy.
Oh, you can tell.
But yeah. Not in a good way, a healthy way, but in like a bad way.
Oh yeah. No, I know what you mean. Dude,
there's healthy conspiracy rabbit holes and there's unhealthy ones. He was into the unhealthy.
Read some of his tweets. I mean, me doing this hand movement right now, if he's watching this, will be driving him crazy. I mean, he's gonna come with all kinds of conspiracies, and I'm gonna make it even easier for him. I am a member of the Freemasons.
Look out, man.
Sorry, I love fucking with people. But yeah, I actually am. So I'm a member of Lodge 5102, which is one of the oldest lodges in Warwickshire. If you'd said to him, one thing you could trigger his conspiracy thing with would be, did you know that my phone could run on the ether? he'll take you down some rabbit holes about ether, man. Oh, yes. Ether's an interesting one. Is it real? Or is it another hidden science?
That's a good question. Who knows? Before we wrap it up, let's play a quick game. I want to start doing this on some of the podcasts. I think it'd be fun to get some opinions and reactions. A little bit of would you rather.
Oh, God.
Now, I asked AI to help me with some of these, so they might be a little out there, but we're going to roll with it.
Okay.
The first one's not bad, though. Would you rather buy Bitcoin in 2009, or would you rather be able to predict the next big crypto in 2025?
Buy crypto in 2009. I mean, come on, man. That one's simple.
Probably. But who knows? Exponentially, things could get crazy in the next year or two, especially with institutional adoption coming in.
True. That's why you'd want to have the Bitcoin from 2009, because that shit is worth some halcyon money. You know,
here's the thing. I feel like I would have sold it. I don't think I would have been able to.
Yeah. No way.
Assuming you have the foresight to know Bitcoin's going to go this high, then yeah, of course, I'd probably hold it. But
I remember when I first read the white paper, I got a chill down my spine. I knew exactly what it meant and what it could mean. It's just I had no money to buy in at the time. Otherwise, I would have bought a lorry load of that shit. You know, when I first read that like donkeys ago. But again, I was not in the position to jump on it. But when I read it, I was like, wow, this is the future. And my first thought was, can you imagine what you could do with this if you had an infinite energy supply? Oh, damn.
This one's definitely AI-based. Would you rather mine Bitcoin in an actual coal mine, or would you rather wash Ethereum in a laundromat?
I would much rather mine Bitcoin in an actual mine. Why? Because it's free cardio. I'm working on my gym at the same time. You know, I'm going to get those arms janked. I mean, I've got a good six-pack and shit when the summer bod comes out. So, you know, I'd be working on that. I'd go mining Bitcoin in a physical mine. Yeah.
Would you rather go on the run with Do Kwon or invite Gary Gensler for over for dinner?
Oh, Jesus Christ, much rather go on the... Actually, no. I would much rather go... You know what? I can do some shit having that jizzling around for dinner, man. Trust. I'll flip that motherfucker. Oh, yeah. I mean, if he is silly enough to come... A, the food I'm going to cook is probably going to burn half his mouth off because he strikes me as a guy that kind of like... What's it my daughter calls it? Okay, this is really bad. My daughter calls it white people's food because there's like very little to no seasoning. You know, like the bland mashed potatoes and shit. So... We don't do that. We do food with like some heat in here, you know. So first of all, I'd have to make sure I don't kill him with the spicy food. Sit his ass down, and I'd say, "Come on, man, level with me. Do you really believe half the shit you say?" I mean, I got to ask because it's dumb. I'm just saying, a lot of it's dumb. You know,
I would just try and get him to drink wine all night long. Like, I got to get some answers out of this guy.
No, dude, rum. It'd be rum. It'd be weed. I'd get that mofo high as fuck. And I'd get him straight onto Twitter. Drunk and high as F.
And then go live.
Yeah.
Is Ethereum a security?
Yes. You know, get him to tell everybody that BlackRock were being banned from trading ETFs. He'd announce that they'd have to give everybody free Bitcoin.
Last one. Would you rather have one of your crypto wallets hacked? God forbid. Or accidentally send a photo, quote unquote, to a family member on accident.
Well, I've had my crypto wallet hacked once. Bear in mind, that's how I lost my first beast. I technically should have three a kid. I lost my first one because I lost it within half an hour of buying the damn thing, literally. So, and I've never been. I would never ever send a photo. To family members because I don't live in a Porky's movie. You know what I mean? And it's like, come on, who in real life have we met who's actually done that? Oh my God. And it's the stuff that you read about in like FHM.
I don't know, man. I've heard tons of stories and it does happen more frequently than one believes.
They are dumbasses. Yeah, then they're dumbasses and they deserve whatever public shame or embarrassment they experienced then, seriously. So in answer to your question, I would probably say I'd much rather have a photo accidentally sent to my family, actually, because I really liked that beast. Seriously, that beast was really me. My other two are cool, but that one was me, man. You know, so yeah.
I think I'm in the same boat. I can take the shame. I don't want my crypto gun.
Yes, ain't it? Because shame is only for a few minutes. Crypto could be generational wealth. So,
it could be. It could fix everything for you one day.
Yeah.
This has been a great episode. We definitely got to banter about a lot of really cool stuff and get some cool updates on Akuma and everything you're consolidating and Vox Crypto, Messenger, Pay, something coming out in August-ish. We'll
Vox
see.
Vox Pay. Yes, that's Vox Pay, but we may change the name to something less on the nose. You know, it's a bit...
No, I like Vox Pay. Vox Pay is cool.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of like I'm really... Look at all my other company names.
Christ. You like the creative names.
Dijin, Gorgon Black Box, Akuma. Vox.
What's pay in Japanese?
I don't know, but again, no, I'm banned from having none of my shareholder. They will not allow it. I've tried it so many times. I barely get away with having our slogan our motto in Latin. So the motto for Akuma Engineering is "Si vis pacem parabellum." You seek peace, you find war. And then the slogan for Vox Messenger is "I am the messenger." The slogan for Vox Crypto is "I am the bank." You know, the slogan for our Vox digital platform asset is "Knowledge is the only true currency of power."
Vox Messenger's slogan should be "You can't shoot the messenger."
Yeah, no.
Because you don't know.
No, because in America, they'll just start shooting people who are using Vox Messenger then. So it's like, hold on, you told me I can't shoot the messenger. You got Vox Messenger. Let me give it a go. Sorry, it's America. You know, because everybody's got automatics.
Where do you want to direct people? Where should people go to check out what you guys are doing?
Okay, so if you want to check out what we're doing, go and Google Vox Crypto, Vox Messenger, or even just Google my name, JB Benjamin, because I'm pretty much everywhere. If you check out linktree.com/T3Chaos, you can find me. If you go to Twitter on JBWB2020, I am very much there. If you want to check out the app in particular, just go into the Google Play Store or Apple iOS and type in Vox Crypto. And as I said, reduced transfer fees, limited time only. Also, forgot to mention something else. If you use Vox Crypto, you get automatic early access to the Vox digital platform asset pre-distribution. And if people are wondering what that means, it means you get an airdrop. And I know everybody loves airdrops. Yes, we're doing 2 billion of them. So there. Yeah. Boom. You all get airdrops. And all of your viewers, and by the way, Brandon, because I love your show, if you send me an airdrop list, all of your viewers and guests can get airdrop because it's 2 billion. There's freaking loads of them to give away. So yeah.
Oh, don't tell them that. They'll want airdrops from me all the time. I can't start that train.
No, hey, we got 2 billion and we're going to be releasing 1 billion this year. So if you would like to give all of your guests and consumers and your listeners airdrop, just get us wallet addresses. They will be included.
Send me some more info. We'll figure that out. And yeah, send me links too. We'll put it in the description. Great episode, man. Let's talk again soon.
Take it easy, dude. Bye.